to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to show number 20 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. I say that now, but in a couple seconds, you're going to hear me say welcome to show number 19. The reason why we did that was because we already recorded show number 19 last week, and if you heard 19, well, you heard the explanation about how I was out of power last week and the show was stuck on the computer. Well, now the power's back, and I was able to get that show off the computer, and we're going to release show number 19 as show number 20. And for show number 20, we're going to be running a contest, our first ever Disney Nerds contest, where you have the chance to win a Disney Nerds plush. It's a really cool looking Mickey Mouse plush that we got from the parks. So stick around to the end of the show. We'll go over what the rules for the contest are, how you can get in touch with us, and what the time frame is. Enjoy the show, which is really show number 20, no matter what this guy says in a couple seconds.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 19 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, it's all about Disney character dining. We had a request from one of our friends over on the Facebook page to talk about our experiences with the Disney World character dining meals. So that's what we're going to do this week. Before we start, I want to introduce the people we're going to be talking to today. First one from Louisiana, Jimmy. How's it going tonight?
Hello, human people.
How's everything going in that part of the country?
It's a balmy 71 degrees.
Oh, you started out with the weather right away, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I know.
And next who we have is Farrah, who's also down in Louisiana, dealing with that tough weather.
Yes, the balmy 71 that was a balmy 40 this morning and 30s yesterday. And then 70s the day before.
It was, yeah.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
I think it's going to be 40 again tomorrow.
Okay, and next we have somebody who understands my mindset just a little bit better up in Minnesota. Tom, how's it going?
You know, it's going well. It's not 70 up here. It's if you inverse the numbers to 07, that's more like it up here. So.
Wow. And this is Ed. I'm from Philadelphia, and we just got a foot, and we're expecting another half tonight. So I'm not too happy about that situation. Otherwise, though, having a great time. Talking to some Disney friends about some great Disney topics. Tonight we're going to talk Disney character meals. And what we're going to do is we're going to go meal by meal. And if we've ever eaten there, we're going to talk about it. Talk about what's served, maybe some of the characters. And I've also written down some of the numbers in preparation for the show. We do prepare once in a while. And hopefully that gets proven today. Before we start, though, I want to do a little bit of a price key, meaning just so you understand when I tell you what these prices are. The first thing is all the prices will include tax. Whenever you look at the meal prices at Disney World, you have to understand that for the sit-down meals for a bunch of restaurants, there's two prices. There's the off-season price and the, I guess, on-season price or the heavy seasons. It's about a $5, $6, $7 difference. The prices we have today are going to be those higher prices. I figured I'd rather give the higher price, and then instead of having somebody hear the lower price and be surprised if they go to the park during the higher season time, this way you'll get a pleasant surprise when you find out the price is actually like $5 cheaper than what we said today. I'm rounding off all the prices, and basically if you hear a range of prices, what we're talking about is what they charge for breakfast and what they charge for dinner, and then you can kind of average out what it is as far as as far as what lunch goes. So here's what we're going to do. We'll start off with 1900 Park Fair over at the Grand Floridian. First of all, who's eating there? Nobody.
Farrah. You just said you ate it all of them.
Except for that one.
Except for that one.
Okay. Well, is that the one? Because I added the one that has the Winnie the Pooh and the Alice in Wonderland characters. Is that the 1900 Park Fair?
I'm not sure. I've never eaten there, but when I was doing my research, it shows that they have the Cinderella over there with Prince Charming and the evil stepsisters and evil stepmom.
Okay.
And I have seen some YouTube videos about that, and they are pretty cool characters. And it's pretty nice to see Cinderella, I guess, outside of the castle. 1900 Park Fair is at the Grand Floridian. I think that restaurant is right there off the lobby, toward the back of the lobby.
Yes.
They have the normal breakfast fare, eggs, meat, waffles, things like that. And it's not that expensive. The price range is $26 for breakfast for an adult and $43 for dinner. The kids go for $15 and then $21. So that's probably, I guess, in the middle price range.
Yeah, the character breakfast we did there, it had all of the Alice in Wonderland, the Alice in Wonderland characters, and it was exactly like you said, the as far as breakfast food offerings. But I found it was really awesome having characters that were off the norm from what you usually get at the character breakfasts, and they were all kind of loco. I mean, seriously, they were all, it was the most fun. You just laughed the entire time. I have the coolest pictures with my kids and with the Mad Hatter and Alice and all of them interacting so heavily with each other and all of the people there in the craziest way. So I really like that as far as character dining goes, just because of the different characters and how off the wall crazy fun it was.
Oh, yeah, it definitely sounds like a fun time. And I actually had a flashback to Grand Floridian, and I think we ate there when they might have had Mary Poppins as a character. I'm not sure. I have to maybe look back and see some pictures on that one. But that kind of sticks out now.
Yeah, that was there, too.
Oh, very cool. I love those kind of flashbacks. Okay, well, let's move on to a different character meal. Let's talk about the Cape May Cafe over at the Beach Club. I think that one's only breakfast. Has anybody eaten in that one?
I have.
Awesome.
We did that on our last trip. That one is the five basic: Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Goofy, and one of the ducks. I think it was Daisy. But it's your basic five Disney characters. The food, I found actually, if you were going to compare the food from there to like the Grand Floridian, I actually preferred the food there, even though it's pretty much some of the same stuff. I don't know if we just caught on a better day or better, so there was better quality, but I really liked it because of its close proximity to Epcot. We scheduled our breakfast there, did our breakfast with the main characters, and were able to just walk right into the back entrance of Epcot. And it was just a nice character breakfast all around.
Now, the prices for the Cape May Cafe were $31 for the adults and $17 for the kids. And actually, compared to the Grand Floridian breakfast at 1900 Park Fair, it is a little bit more expensive. So Grand Floridian looks even better then. But the Cape May Cafe sounds like a fun time, too.
And I think, if I remember correctly, all the characters were dressed all in nautical themed, like Donald was in it was Daisy and Minnie, and they had like the little pinafores, I think you call them, the little nautical shirts and everything, and it was really cute.
Well, I think that's one of the cool things about the character dinings, is you get to see the characters in all, you know, depending on where you are, you get to see them in all kind of different costumes, so that's pretty neat.
I'm trying to think, It seems like I remember seeing maybe Goofy. Mickey was in. He looked kind of like the captain from Gilligan's Island, Mr. Howell. He looked like Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island with the hat and the little kerchief and the little blazer. And then Goofy, I think, was in some kind of like striped or polka dot bathing suit. Donald or Daisy, whichever duck it was. Maybe it was Daisy and Donald, because I have memories of both of them. He might, I think, was in some sort of like scuba or snorkeling gear. It was really neat.
Donald could just wear his regular outfit in that kind of setting.
Yeah, he is a sailor. Yeah. That's funny.
Okay, and we're moving on to Chef Mickey's Buffet. Now, I have a feeling that a lot of us have been to this place.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
I have, yes.
Excellent. Now, just to let everybody know, Chef Mickey's, if you don't know, is in the Contemporary Resort right underneath where the monorail goes through. So right there, there's a really kind of cool aspect to the restaurant itself. If you've ever gone through the lobby of the Contemporary, you look down and you've seen the restaurant. I tell you what, Jimmy, what was the biggest thing that stuck out to you about Chef Mickey's? What did you think was the biggest attraction to it?
The monorail running through the building.
Not a distraction?
No. How cool is that?
It is. It is really cool. I mean, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I think it's really cool that you're sitting there at lunch and you kind of watch. It's you know what's really neat is how quiet it is. Because if you're sitting there eating and you're not looking for it, it'll zoom through and you won't even notice that it's going through.
That's a good point, because we were there and we were actually, I guess it was underneath where the monorail was. We had a window table actually looking out over the Seven Seas Lagoon and in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's cool.
And it didn't. I couldn't have told you when the monorail was coming through or not. Really.
The other big attraction at Chef Mickey's is Mickey waffles.
Yes, I love Mickey waffles.
I've never eaten the breakfast. I've only had the dinner there, so they haven't experienced the waffles there.
Mickey, yeah, same with us.
Mickey waffles are like a little syrup bowl.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had them, just not there.
Yeah, I wish I could eat Mickey waffles every morning.
Me too. You know, they sell like Mickey waffle press, like a Mickey waffle iron.
A waffle maker? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They do.
It won't be the same.
And they have the recipes online for all that stuff, too, as far as authentic Walt Disney World waffles.
That's a good idea.
It's not the same when you have to cook them yourself. It's much better when they're just in a big bin full of waffles.
Yeah, but when you haven't been there in a while, it definitely brings back the feeling.
Oh, no, it definitely brings back the feelings, yeah.
Yep,
it'll definitely. Do in a pinch.
What do you think it would cost to have a Dole Whip dispenser installed in my kitchen?
Oh, I know. Oh.
Did you hear about 5 or 6 years ago, they came out with the company that makes the Dole Whip mixture and that you could actually write to them and buy it? And make it at home.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ricky Bergani, we talk about Ricky almost every week, but at the Inside of the Magic had this story probably about 5 years ago now. 5 or 6 years ago, where they found the actual company that made it for Dole, and they had the recipe, or not the recipe, but you can buy the mix, and they told you how to make it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hmm. Yeah.
My brother keeps trying to convince me to bring dry ice into the Magic Kingdom, get him a Dole Whip, and ship it out to him.
Package it up
yes,
and mail it
I keep
to
telling him that's not going to work, but seriously, I can't believe you didn't try. I'm like, I don't think they're going to let me bring dry ice into the Magic Kingdom.
Well, as everybody knows, for Dole Whips, there's always a second chance to get a Dole Whip, and you don't have to enter the Magic Kingdom. Over at Captain Cook's at the Polynesian, they have their own personal Dole Whip machine.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty nice over there. It actually kind of takes the specialty out of having a Dole Whip at the Magic Kingdom, to be honest with you. But still nice. Okay, so Chef Mickey's. Tom, give us something good about Chef Mickey's. What do you think stood out about that place?
I think a couple things I like is, one, at least for the dinner, it's food that everyone in the family can find to like. I think it's regular Americana food. It's not, is someone going to like something here type of deal. So there's usually something for everyone there. I've had a couple of experiences where the food wasn't the freshest, but the last time I was there, it was phenomenal. And I will say, okay, and all the kids are listening to this, I want you to cover your ears, because as we all know, the kids go, the characters kind of go in a rotation of, you know, how long they can be out. From my experience of character dining, Chef Mickey's has the most interactive, you know, partying type of characters. They will mess with you. They'll take any kind of pictures you want with them. They mess with each other. They really seem to really get into their characters more than I would say at most locations at Chef Mickey's.
That makes sense.
I totally agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up. That was the first time we ever saw the interplay between Mickey and Donald and everybody getting all jealous about the different girls and such. Yep. And Goofy actually being the peace, keeping the peace.
Yep, I found the same thing. And if you think about it, it makes sense because Chef Mickey's is kind of like the big show. That's the one that everybody tries to book, the breakfast at Chef Mickey's. So I would imagine that the cast members they get to play those characters are the best of the best.
So, Farrah, are you saying that's not really Mickey Mouse?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, 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 fingers in the ears.
I'm just wondering. I'm wondering where you're going with this. Yeah, I'm wondering.
Mickey and Minnie bring their A game for the big show.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I tell you what, that's a great thing they do that. And the view there at the Contemporary, as we discussed, is really good. I wasn't really impressed with the food either. I thought the time we were there, it wasn't that great. It was just, it was American. It was good. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't great. The thing that stood out for us was the dessert bar, the ice cream sundae bar. So that gives you an idea as far as the food. The characters were great, like we were saying. They're very, very talkative. Well, quote-unquote talkative. They definitely interacted with us. And so that was very fun. And we were there toward the end of the evening. This was a very late dinner for us. And since there weren't a lot of families there at that point, it was even kind of more character interaction. So we lucked out with that visit.
This is also one of the character places where you get a family picture, too. Some offer that, some don't. And this is definitely one that does.
You have to buy that, though, right?
In most situations, if you're something, for anniversary, the restaurant gave us one for free a couple times.
Oh, I was going to ask, are you saying you stole it?
Right.
I think it's silly that they make it buy because they throw them away anyway. Things are really losing money anyway. It's kind of a weird concept in general.
It doesn't cost them anything. It's probably cost them hardly anything to print that. So if they can sell it to you. It's actually a pretty good marketing plan because they print the picture and they put it in your hand.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's hard to turn down pictures of yourself. Period. It is.
Especially you got little kids sitting next to you, mommy or daddy. That looks cool.
I bet they sell a lot more because of the fact that they print it and bring it to the table and put it in your hand than they would if they say, "Would you like to order it?" It's a lot easier to say, "No, I don't want to order it." Once it's printed in your hand, you're like, you know what? It's only $35.95.
Oof.
I know, whatever it is, but
I get it every time, every single time.
See? Farrah's a sucker.
Every single time. I know. I am. Every single time.
Now the prices for this place are $37 to $47 for adults, and $22 kind of right across the board for kids, breakfast or dinner. I'm trying to think. I think Cinderella's Castle is the only place where you get the photograph with the price of the meal.
Yeah, that's a scam.
Come to think of it. I can't remember much more of the other places like
so
that.
So expensive.
But we'll be talking about that place in a second.
Yeah, you get quote-unquote free.
I tell you what, since we're just starting to talk about it, let's move right over to it. Cinderella's Castle in the Magic Kingdom is the premier character meal, guys. What would you say? If you have girls.
I have a girl and a boy, and we've attended the lunch, and we've done I think it's the dinner. I have not done the breakfast yet, but I don't know. It's nice to have done it once to say you ate in the castle, but I don't know.
Well, using that theory, that's where my kids lose, because my wife and I on our honeymoon ate at King Stephen's Banquet Hall. So, yeah, we're done.
That's how I feel. Like, I did it, so there's no need. I guess the good thing is it takes up 2 dining credits, and
definitely not worth it.
No.
And kind of here's the prices now that kind of makes that seem not worth it. $58 for breakfast for an adult, $72 for dinner. And the kids are 37 and 43. So a family of 4 is going to set you back, what's that, 142, 40, 220, something like that?
Right. Did you say 72 for lunch and dinner?
Yes. Now, don't forget, these are the seasonal rates. So in the off season, they're going to be a little bit better than that. But, again, I just wanted to give what the most you'll ever pay at that restaurant this year coming up so that you're not surprised in case you're there.
Yeah, and either way, you pay. You if you're doing the dining credits, it's 2 credits. I'd much rather eat at Le Cellier and Ohana's.
Well, Le Cellier is 2 credits now too.
It actually is. That's right. I'd much rather eat at Le Cellier.
or eat at Ohana twice.
I eat at Ohana's twice. Yeah.
And that's something I think they did a little too late as far as Le Cellier. I don't believe that's a 2-credit restaurant this point anymore. At one time, yeah, definitely. I don't think it has that – well, and again, in my own opinion, I don't think it has that quality it did. But that's another show.
Yeah, that's true.
Night at Royal Table once, but it was on my honeymoon like 10 years ago. So I'm sure the prices were drastically less back then. But we did get – I will say, you know, we've been blessed with many gifts for these things. They gave us champagne flutes for free for that. So
I've never been, but I did. We went on a trip a few years ago, and my wife and my daughter and a couple of other people, all the kind of women and the girl children went, and they enjoyed it. I mean, but for $50 for an adult for breakfast, that's
I was on that trip.
Yeah, I had enough to last me for 2 days to justify $50 breakfast.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. The very first time I ate there, the food was good. Like we really liked it. We had awesome items, and then that was before they redid it. They kind of changed up the whole menu and the whole style of the meals. I found the food not as good at all. Certainly not worth that price. You're not paying for the food. You're paying to say you ate in the castle.
Yep.
Now, when I went there for King Stefan's Banquet Hall, I mean, I wonder if it's still set up the same way. We ended up having to go through the tunnel in the castle to the back area, and then there was a stairway on the right where they had the receptionists, and then they took you up the stairs to the actual restaurant.
Yep.
Is that how it's still set up?
Yeah, that's how it was when we went.
Mm-hmm. Any other stories about Cinderella's Royal Table to say definitely worth it?
You know, I think
kind of like we're leaning against that, but you got to admit, if you do have some girls in your family that like princesses, although on our list you'll see there are some other opportunities for princesses. So.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm. I found the Morocco, the one in Norway, to be way, way, way better. Food was better, the princess interaction was better, and it was cheaper.
Let's go ahead and talk about that place then. Tom, what's the name of that restaurant?
Oscar Shoes. I always called it Oscar House. I know that's wrong, but that's...
That's what I... Me too. Me too. Oscar's House.
It's Oscar's House.
It's Oscar's House.
However, Oscar. As we all know, it is the Norway restaurant.
Farrah just made Norwegian people mad. Last week it was Russians.
Is Oscar a big name in Norway? Right. I think not.
Oscar with a K.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, and from what we've talked already about it, you understand this is another princess breakfast that they offer at Walt Disney World. However, this one is just a little bit more affordable than the one over at Cinderella's Castle. This one is $47 for an adult and $28 for a child. Actually, it's not that much better.
Not that much better, but still only one credit on the dining plan.
True. Good point.
One credit. Well, then, much better interaction.
So that makes no sense then, because the credits aren't based on the price?
I think it's based upon demand.
Popularity.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it is.
Fair enough. I've never been to this restaurant. Who has?
I have.
Okay. Give me a reason why I'd like to go here. Which princesses, I guess, or does that not matter?
It changes up a little bit. I know it's changed up since we've done it, but there's like 4 or 5. I think when we first walked in, there's a meet and greet and a picture take with Belle, or there was. That's who.
Belle as well.
I have too, but I've heard it's rotating princess. I mean, it was Belle with me too, but I was told it's actually on a rotation basis who you get the picture with in the beginning.
Okay. But and then at dinner it's Belle, Aurora, Cinderella, Ariel, and Snow White, I think.
Yeah, that's who it was when we did it too. But I heard that I think they've worked one of the frozen gals in there.
They're across the way. Their meet and greet is, if you walk out of Oscars, their meet and greet is directly on the other side of the walkway.
I was actually kind of surprised yesterday. I saw that as soon as that part of Epcot opened up, there was already people online bragging how they were fifth or sixth online to the meet and greet for the Frozen girls. I'm understanding there's 2-hour wait still.
Wow.
For them, which kind of leads us to the observation that perhaps there's going to be some more Frozen items in the park soon.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of one thing I liked about doing the breakfast in Norway is that you can actually book breakfast times before it officially, you know, that part of the park officially opens.
Mm-hmm. So that's correct.
And it was just neat. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just really was, you know.
We're going to talk about the Crystal Palace also in a couple minutes, another restaurant inside one of the parks. And that is one of the prime reasons why we actually booked the place. It was only secondary that we found out how much of a good time it was. So let's really quick, not quick, but let's finish up with Oscar House. The Norway restaurant.
I will say one thing different about this one. It's not really buffet. It is more of a family style. They do have a semi-buffet where it's just like pastries and stuff. Otherwise, they bring the eggs to you. They bring the sausage to mm-hmm. you.
See, we went for lunch.
Yeah.
Is everything fish?
No. But
no,
like,
it was
there,
a buffet.
There is like a buffet area, and it's basically like it's like cheeses and like almost like cold cut type food that you, it's almost like an appetizer, and then you order what you want after that.
Right. And they bring it to you, but it's like unlimited. You could, and we tested this. You could order all the bacon.
You just all the bacon. Bring all the bacon. Not just a little. Just all of it.
Hey, for breakfast, if you want Mickey waffles, they will bring you Mickey waffles. It's not their general, like, item. But if you request them, they will bring you waffles.
That's a good rule of thumb for any restaurant in Walt Disney World. Almost any restaurant, if you request something, they're going to try their hardest to get it to you. I've heard so many different stories, and basically all of them end up coming back really positive as far as somebody being able to do something for them. It helps if that restaurant might be part of the same park or that resort or something like that, but even so, I think you have a good shot.
If you're a gluten-free eater or like that, they will accommodate that too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's a good point, because Disney always asks that, and one of the first questions they'll ask you as you're checking in if you have any food allergies, especially when you're registering for different restaurants, reservations, things like that. Let the chef know your allergies. The chef's going to walk over to the table and speak to you about it, offer you some suggestions on what to order, and then make sure that everything comes out right. I've heard hundreds and hundreds of great, great stories of how well Disney takes care of people with special allergies and such.
And they will not charge you extra, too. They don't charge you extra for making it special like that. So.
Right.
That's very nice. But you should not have told me about the ordering thing, because I'm so ordering Mickey waffles at Le Cellier.
I can't speak for there. I can only speak for us.
I'm going to prove this theory. I'm going to prove this theory in October. I'm going to prove this point.
That's not bad. I can't wait.
Hey,
Sarah. Maybe we could do a podcast from there, and I could y'all could be on the line while I'm ordering it.
Mickey Waffle Maker is $33.53 on Amazon.
Okay.
You have to buy it at the kitchen store down at Disney. What are you talking, Amazon?
Yes.
You know what? if you're in a bond and need some Mickey waffles,
so cheaper than the cost of an adult price at the. At the
well, if you think of it that way.
At Oscar's house. Oscar's house.
And it keeps on giving.
Right. Although, you technically could stay there and keep ordering over and over.
Right. So the more Mickey waffles you order, the less your relative cost is.
Your doctor will thank you later.
Right. You know what? I only paid like $3 per waffle.
But my blood sugar went up like 5 times as much.
Now, one thing to note, that the different if you're at the Oscar's house place, the menu changes, I think, from, doesn't it change from like traditional American breakfast to like Norwegian like fish and stuff? Or so, I mean, like around 11 o'clock, you're going to, I guess they'd keep bringing you waffles if you keep asking for it, but you might be switched to Norwegian food, right?
And well, you know what else was interesting that I noticed when we were there is it seems like they do almost like seatings. So the reservation system doesn't just stay open. They seat so many people within a certain amount of time. Like, we were one of the, I guess, the last ones in that block of time to get seated for lunch. So by the time we left, the whole restaurant was empty, and they were just about to start seating for the next service.
Mm. Well, maybe that's the way they can guarantee that the characters cover all the tables.
I guess, yeah. But it was, I found that interesting, that when we were leaving, that it didn't just rotate, that the restaurant was almost empty.
Real quick before we get too far away, Farrah brought up a good point too. If you want to have, or if you have some people in your party that aren't true breakfast eaters or not true lunch eaters or such, you could always hedge your bets. Try to hit breakfast at the last reservation for breakfast you can get. If it is a restaurant that switches over for lunch, while you're eating breakfast, they'll be switching over to lunch, and then they're not going to kick you out. You're still in the restaurant eating. You'll have your lunch choices then after that. There's a number of the character meals that do that, but that's another good rule of thumb for any of the restaurants that have breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, we do that all the time because my wife doesn't like breakfast food, and I love breakfast food, so we try to get that turnover. She can have what she wants, and I can mow down on all the eggs and sausage, bacon, all the other fatty stuff. So,
bacon.
Yeah. Unlimited bacon. You can't go wrong. Another thing about Oskahoos that I think is cool for families that have young girls, about every 10-15 minutes, they do like a princess parade where all the girls will follow the princesses all around the store.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you said that, because that's specifically what I meant. Well, specifically what I meant when I meant that, when I said the princess interaction's way better, I found there. That little parade, they just love. My daughter loved that.
Yeah.
Oscar's house rules.
Well, that kind of is a good segue into the next character meal over at Ohana's at the Polynesian restaurant. Ohana's has a breakfast character meal there that stars Lilo and Stitch. It also has, I guess you'd call it Island Mickey, because he shows up in his Island Hawaiian shirt, Pluto, and I believe, I want to say Goofy, but I'm not sure who the fifth character was for that one. But that was a really great breakfast. It's pretty plain as far as the food offerings, although the juice is probably the best juice I've had. It was some type of papaya mango mix yes. they had. So that was pretty fun. And they did have a parade there also. They had a parade where they give all the kids coconuts and brooms. So they're all racing around to get the coconuts around the circuit, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah, really loud, very, very loud, but the kids were loving it.
They did that I've seen them do that for dinner. I've never been to mm-hmm. the character breakfast at Ohana, but I've been there dinner what? Many times, and the dinner there.
I've never been to Ohana for anything yet. So.
What?
Dinner, oh, my goodness.
The dinner is incredible there. We stood in line for...
Tom! We tried for 4 months to get dinner reservation, couldn't get in. Then we sat in line for, and the overflow line for an hour and a half and couldn't get in. So.
Oh, wow.
Bummer. Tom brings up a great point. As far as character meals go, you need to get reservations as soon as those windows of opportunity open up.
180 days.
Right. Take advantage, make your reservation. And if you have to cancel it, cancel it. But as long as you get those resis in early, then you should be okay. Once in a while, in the off times of the parks, some of the lesser character meals you should be able to get into. It shouldn't be that hard of an issue. But during the busier times, which is three quarters of the year now, you need the reservations.
And if you can get, I mean, when you hit your 180-day mark, if you start making your reservations, you should be able to get most things you want. I mean, it might not be exact time you want, but you should be able to get in all the places you want. I mean, with the exception maybe be our guest.
Yeah, I should make a correction. We were able to get in Ohana if we wanted to. It was like 9:40. I'm like, I don't want to eat an all-you-can-eat dinner at 9:40.
Oh, sure.
Yes, you do. You chose wrong, Tom.
Yeah, you chose wrong.
One of the other specialties about Ohana's, and we'll talk about this down the road again when we have a show about some of the best sit-down restaurants, but the Ohana dinner also stuck out, and this is a couple of other restaurants that are on the Magic Kingdom loop. If you time your meal out, you'll be able to watch fireworks while you eat dinner.
We get it every time. Every time we've eaten at Ohana's for dinner, we've gotten the fireworks. We've never been lucky enough to get a window seat, but it really doesn't matter because they dim the lights and pump the pipe to music in. So,
So just a little tidbit as far as something else to think about. Okay, so we're moving on. We're going to go over to the Disney Hollywood Studios, to the Hollywood and Vine. This is one of those character breakfasts that I wish we had done, or character meals, and we never had. This is another one where the characters seem to switch up every 3 or 4 years also, because the whole Disney kids package on TV, like the kid channel, always changes up their shows too. So they try to stay current with that. I'm guessing it's the Einstein still, but I'm not even sure who's popular now.
Doc McStuffins.
Agent Oso, that yellow bear thing.
Right, okay.
And there's Jake and Neverland Pirates. I don't know who's there, but that's kind of the shows on there now.
Okay. Now, the Hollywood and Vine prices are $30 to $35 for adults and $17 to $18 for the kids, so really reasonable prices. But it is standard American food fare over there. Has anybody eaten over there recently or been there?
I've never been there.
I've never been there for the character. I was there for the lunch with Fantasmic VIP tickets. I don't want to trash this, but I won't go there again. Our whole party got food poisoning last time we went to Hollywood and Vine.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Run to Hollywood and Vine.
I don't want to discourage people to go there, but yeah, our whole party was yakking for a day and a half after going there. So
I was not impressed when we went either. We did the same thing. We did the Fantasmic package, though. We did not do the breakfast. So I can't speak to the breakfast, but it was okay. It was your... I liken it to casino buffet food. Your average casino, not Vegas casino, like, you know.
Hollywood.
I don't know.
Hollywood buffet.
Yep.
I don't know why you're hating on Doc McStuffins. So it looks like it's Jake and Neverland. I just looked it up. It looks like it's Agent Oso, Jake and Neverland Pirates. That looks like the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
And a trip to the emergency room. You may need Doc McStuffins if you eat another way.
Let's hope not. It's one thing we don't need on a trip.
Every single trip that I've gone with my husband, we ended up in the doctor's office. I know the Kissimmee doctors well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bummer. Okay, let's move on, and we're gonna talk about another restaurant that I've never been to. And it's over at the Swan. It's called the Garden Grove, and they offer a character breakfast over there on Saturday and Sundays. It did say they offer the Fab Five characters, and the meals over there are the breakfast is $21 for adults and $13 for kids, so another reasonable one. Has anybody eaten over that place?
I have not, but I have heard people that have and was very impressed.
Really? How about that? Okay.
I don't know that I've ever been in the Swan or the Dolphin.
Oh, I have been inside of, and I've eaten at some of the places, but I have not done a character breakfast there yet.
Yeah, that might be something to put on the list of places to kind of go over. I think it's over, one of the miniature golf courses is right near there.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember getting very close to them. I just have never been there either.
I'm thinking it's got to be kind of a hard place to get to for breakfast, because it's Swan Dolphin. There's not a whole lot of transportation to get there, so it's...
Oh, that's true too. Buses don't really go from one resort to another resort.
So it's going to be a tricky place to get to. That's the only problem, I think.
Oh, that's one of those. Either you're going to take a cab, or you're staying there, or you take the bus to the park to the resort.
Or to the Downtown Disney. That's what we do. Don't drive, you know.
Or if you're at Epcot or Studios, you can take the boat. It goes to Swan and Dolphin.
Right, that's true.
Or you'd be able to do that in time to get there for breakfast. That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Breakfast would be tough, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, we usually drive, take a taxi.
You know, but if you plan that day to, I was going to say take a taxi, then you can hop on the boat and go from there to Epcot or Hollywood Studios or, you know, the rest of your day.
That's exactly what we do. We plan out breakfast at one of those different places because we hop back and forth between the different resorts a lot on a trip.
Yeah.
That's kind of part of the thing, you know.
So we're going to move on to another restaurant now, and we're going to talk about the Donald Safari Breakfast at the Tusker House. Now, the Tusker House and the Donald Safari Breakfast, I think that used to be at the Restaurant Saurus at one point, and they moved it over to the Tusker House maybe a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been to this one, but I have heard good things about it. Who's been there?
I've been to both windows, at the old place and the new place.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a preference now?
Same food. I mean, it's they're both. It's not much different, to be honest with you. I like it. I love breakfast food. I like Donald Duck. It's a perfect spot for me. So
that is the perfect match. Now, the prices over there are kind of in the medium. It's $33 for an adult and $18 for a kid, which isn't huge or isn't a big price, but it's also not that cheap either. I think this is also another one of the restaurants that you can get into the park early. I believe the restaurant starts serving. I want to say it's 7 is the first reservation you get in there, but you definitely have to check every time you make a reservation on your own or through your travel agent.
That'd be me.
Anything stick out as far as the breakfast goes or the characters, Tom? Who else is there besides Donald?
I was going to ask. What are
Who else is it? Mickey, Minnie, think Fab Five again, Pluto, Goofy, I think.
Right.
I could be wrong in one of those, but it's your main guys. They're wearing safari outfits. Because it's in Animal Kingdom. You get a picture taken with Donald before you get in. This is another one that we did, you know, right as a turnover, because that way you can get waffles, and then you also get mashed potatoes. So it's kind of it's
well, that's extremes.
Is that an African thing?
No, just a changeover between breakfast and lunch.
You can get
the best of both worlds. So it was.
Oh, okay.
It's a big, huge room where the food is. It's a huge, huge semicircle that you walk through to get your food. It's very crowded at times, especially if it's very busy. But the food's good. Food's great. It gives me something to do in Animal Kingdom. You know, in the morning, it's kind of because there's a lot of walking to do in that park, so it's a good way to burn off all everything you eat. So. I like it. It's one of my favorite ones. And it's a place that's really not that hard to get a reservation at, from my experiences too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people think breakfast character meals in Animal Kingdom.
No.
But okay. Well, that sounds like something we should try sometimes.
Let me just say something that we used to do. We used to, before the character breakfast went there, and I guess you could still do that. For that, it would be great. Is Animal Kingdom Day, we make a beeline for the safari. We mm-hmm. get a fast pass, and we go eat breakfast at what used to be there. But I guess you could still, you know, do that, you know, just schedule a breakfast there.
Hey, Barry, you know what they do have there that's getting tough to find around there? Is the jalapeno cream cheese, the jalapeno cheese pretzel.
Yes, your mom loves it, yes. I know it well on our girl trips.
Launching pad, Magic Kingdom.
They don't have them anymore.
You get it there too?
No.
Really?
Oh, they got rid of them.
Oh,
the only place I know of, they have them at Downtown Disney, and they have them right at that little stand, right by the safaris, next to that little fruit stand.
Right.
Yep, right there. Yeah, they're getting tough to find.
Hmm.
I'm getting hungry with all this talk.
I know.
Seriously, yeah. Seriously. Okay, well, we have only a couple more restaurants, so let's finish up. The last actual restaurant we're going to talk about today is the Crystal Palace at the Magic Kingdom. Now, this is another restaurant at the Magic Kingdom that does character meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's another good one to try to get into the park a little early. That's how we did it. We've got some fabulous Christmas pictures of Main Street with nobody on it and all the Christmas decorations on our way to breakfast. It was incredible. The prices for the Crystal Palace is $29 to $44 for an adult and $16 to $21 for a kid. The breakfast there is basically an American breakfast. It's buffet style. Nothing really stood out, I would say. The breakfast pizza was definitely kind of cool, but I hear that's kind of common everywhere now, so it's not a specific thing over there. The characters they had were the Winnie the Pooh characters, and that was actually kind of a novelty too. Mm-hmm. You don't usually see those guys in the restaurants or even around the parks as often as you think.
Mm.
And the kids really love them, so that was pretty much a bonus there.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm not the hugest Winnie the Pooh fan, but I loved I loved seeing the characters there. I love Piglet. Who? The pictures with Piglet were the cutest, cutest pictures. And my kids went nuts, absolutely nuts. They were way more excited than any other characters. Piglet and Tigger. And they just went nuts.
I was going to say,
people have against Winnie the Pooh.
I'm not a Pooh fan either. I never have been.
Oh, no, I'm a big fan. I've always liked Winnie the Pooh. I loved seeing the cartoons coming on TV were just as special as the Christmas specials were, because it was always tradition to watch, and I thought it was just so cool how it started out in the book with the actual words and the writing and the sentences.
You kind of jump into the book?
Right.
I love it.
It was such a great concept.
You know, even the attraction in Magic Kingdom. Because it follows that whole little story. You kind of get in there and you kind of go into the book.
Now, is that still there?
Yeah, that's still there.
Yes.
Good, because
I didn't know either. That shows how little I've ever ridden that thing. I just don't. I've just never been a Pooh guy.
Oh, your son's gonna love it. You got to get him on that.
I think he's been on it. He's not a Pooh guy either. So
gotcha. Mm. I think that ride is pretty cool in that it's just got some great ride action. Just the thing that stuck out was when Tigger shows up, you're bouncing around like Tigger.
Yep.
And when you had the great flood, your car feels like you're actually floating in water as everything's going by you. I think they definitely hit a home run with that one.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a big Winnie the Pooh fan, but I love that ride.
The Crystal Palace, though, don't they have also like a flag little party every so often? Like the kids wave flags all over the place.
They did have some type of parade, but I forget exactly what it was.
Yeah, they do a couple different things.
Is it the napkin parade where they're swinging the napkins over their
heads? That's what it is. It's like the Homer Hinkies. That's right.
I just thought that was a little kind of grungy, actually, because there was stuff flying.
but the kids do that at Chef Mickey's, too.
Okay.
They get them to take their napkins and twirl them around their heads and stuff.
Well, that's it for show number 20. Thanks for listening. If you had any comments, or if we missed your favorite restaurant or your favorite meal, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Now for the contest info. This is our first annual Disney Nerds contest where we're giving away a Disney Nerd plush, a really cool looking Mickey Mouse all dressed up as a nerd. The contest rules are as follows. Go back and listen to show number 19. While you're listening, write down where each segment was recorded from. Be very specific and try to tell us exactly where it was, what park, what part of the park, what attraction. Send the list to thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, and we'll take all the correct lists, put them into a hat, and choose a winner for that incredible Mickey Mouse Disney Nerd plush. We're going to let this contest run 2 weeks. The cutoff date will be February 23rd. So, when you have a chance, listen to show number 19, get those answers written down, and send them in to us. And we hope you're going to be a winner. For Jimmy, Farah, Tom, and this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your code.